Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On the morning show, it's part two. It's a follow-up to our program that we did recently on Alzheimer's and dementia. Joining us in the studio, Pam Kohlberg, dementia care specialist. Chris Gerber is here, and we're going to talk a little bit later on by phone with the Vice President of Development for the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin Chapter, Stephanie Zemke, will join us. But first of all, let's start off with some good news. Chris, your event that you had this last Saturday in memory of your mom must have been spectacular.
I think the emotions hit pretty hard Saturday night after it all wrapped up, and kind of just, we had a heck of a good time at the bowling alley after the tournament to kind of just unwind, and a lot of the friends that were there to support me and those kind of things. But yeah, we had 12 teams, so 48 bowlers plus the public. It was just unbelievable, the amount of support, and then to also hear just more and more people that are coming forward now with family members that, I lost my uncle, or I lost my grandfather, or I had a really good friend just message that, my husband just got diagnosed. So those things are what's driving this, besides my mom and my dedication that I made to her that I was going to make a difference. So somehow, don't know how. As she always said, I have a face for radio. So I was on radio before, so I'm pretty comfortable there. I can do that, but I'm very comfortable at the bowling alley, which her and I shared a passion for when I was young. She was my coach. So Tom and Amy and Greg down at the Phoenix Center jumped on board with this. And we had the first annual Marcy Strikeout Alzheimer Baker Shootout. And I couldn't be more pleased. I had 50 sponsors, and I don't want to miss any of them. There were 50 of them. They're all on my Facebook page or my mom's event page, but, TKO to the Phoenix Center to Quick Trip, Turbos, the Lonesome Dove, you know, Anna Arms, Susan Price with her paintings, Diane Nautical with cheesecakes to... We had Shasan Smoke, they build rocket stoves. They donated a rocket stove to it. That was a great event. EJ Tackett, a professional bowler, sent me a signed autographed jersey. Verdi Crawley, the female professional bowler, sent me a framed autographed. I had two autographs card from hers. Morris Heating and Cooling was huge. TKO donated a whole smoked brisket for the silent auction, so... I guess where I get at with this is there were no big chains. I didn't have the Targets or anybody else offering this. They were not offering anything there. It's all the small local establishments that we need to support here in town. Whether it be Blue River, Muscadet, Avoca, you know, I had Honkers and Sportsman's and Whiskey Row and all of those with the port in Blue River, and then New Horizons, the gas station in Blue River. It's all of those companies that are making this possible. There were 50 of them. And I just kept getting phone calls. My wife said, quit going to people. I said, I'm not going to people. I'm not going there. They're all messaging me on saying, hey, we would like to be part of this, and we want to help because we've all been affected by it. I mean, I look at my brother Colin, who made a comment on it the other day, that the money's nice, but the education was the best portion of it. He knew nothing about, and neither did I really, of Alzheimer's or dementia. I mean, we both kind of always lumped it together like we've had this discussion before. And my brother says, I know a lot more about it now in 3 years. Well, yeah, my mom got diagnosed in 4. So when you go from a family that has no idea about what this disease does or how you should treat someone with this disease of... trying to say, hey, mom, you remember when that would just make her mad because she knew she didn't. Just don't use those words. I mean, if you're around somebody that way, try not to force them to remember. And if they are telling you some whacked out story, just go with it. Just ride along. I mean, that's what you can do, and just say, you know what, Ma, you're right. That's what happened, you know. And my mom would tell me how guys at Hudson really loved her and thought she was attractive, all that. You're right, Ma. Who wouldn't? You know? I try to convince people that all the time that I'm so good looking, nobody believes that.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I...
Oh, my. So the grand total amount raised?
Grand total, $5,133 in 6 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Yeah, so we hand that check over tomorrow to the Alzheimer's Association.
Oh, that's super, Chris. And again, you did it with the support of the community and people that I'm guessing weren't even bowling. They just kind of stopped by to see what it was
all about. Yeah, and I think that held up a little bit because everybody hears that it's a bowling tournament. The public is more than welcome. The public could have been into the baskets, could have done all the raffles, could have done everything. The bowling tournament portion of it was just to get people there, per se. But I think a lot of people, when they hear that these benefits are at a bowling alley or wherever it may be, they get gun shy. They get, oh, I don't bowl. Well, you're not bowling. Okay, we're just getting together to talk about the disease, or if you've been affected, how can you be part of it? You know, I had donor sheets there that if you wanted to just donate, you could have taken one of them and sent in your own money under whoever you wanted to honor that day. I'll have them again. So, yeah, this was last Saturday. After the feedback from everybody, the second annual is in the books, and it is scheduled for November 8th of 2025. Already have 10 teams signed up, so I have two open spots. Already have five of silent auctions offered. So we are on the way of the second annual that is going to take place at the Phoenix Center.
You've set the bar high, though. You're going to have to work hard to
I'll do whatever I take, and I know Mom's guiding me along the way. I think she gave me that no-quit attitude, and whatever happens in life, and I think my kids got to see how a community comes together, how a small group works. You know, with my son being in the position he's in the community quite often. My daughters are business people, so they're starting to understand what it takes to do. But really, everybody kept saying it was hard work. Yes, it was to a certain extent, but I'm a go-getter. I just want to get the best thing and have the best results. And I guess at some point when I raise $1 million for it, I'll be happy. Maybe. Probably not. I'm a salesperson. I'm competitive, so it's not probably going to happen.
Who won the bowling tournament, by the way?
So, the Lone Rock Young Bucks.
Ah, congratulations.
So, yeah, congratulations to them. They took $1,000 and they donated money back out of the winnings. That was the cool part, too. Locals also that were bowling on three rights and one left turn. So in bowling, if you know, there were three right-handers on that team and one lefty. All good friends of mine. But the Lone Rock Young Bucks took the tournament, and they all loved it. There's some feedback, so there will be some switches in the tournament as far as rules and things, which the invites went out already. And like I said, I've already got 10 teams signed up, and we're looking forward to the second annual.
Awesome. Pam Kohlberg is here. Pam, you know, events like Chris's that does so well, I think, to, as he mentioned, maybe people are talking about it for the first time with other people, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Chris is my champion. I'm a hero, and I really believe in the sense of community. I mean, Richland County really always comes together for amazing causes, whether it's Grace or whatever. So it celebrates the community. It celebrates the Phoenix Center is such an awesome partner. But it also really makes aware, you know, the what's going on in the world. Like, people are hearing about dementia in TV programs now. Celebrities, we were just talking about this earlier. Like, it's out there. I mean, my job is to raise awareness. People are aware, you know. My job is to reduce stigma. That's where we really want to help people not feel ashamed because they got a medical condition, like any other medical condition that they need to deal with. But we also need to look at, like, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to learn about it? How are we going to kind of come together to kind of help fight it. And just some simple facts. I mean, Alzheimer's kills more Americans than breast cancer or prostate cancer combined. That 1 in 3 senior dies from Alzheimer's or other dementia. Of the total U.S. population, 1 in 9 people age 65 or older is living with dementia, right? 2/3 are women. I mean, this is a significant part of the population. And so we need to talk about it, right? We need to not keep it in the closet. We need to say, okay, so this is going on. So what are we going to do? How can I learn how to respond to those weird stories later? How can I learn how to handle it and make us a dementia-friendly community? And there have been efforts to be dementia-friendly, but I think that this effort with Chris is really going to push the bar for people to come out of the woodwork and talk more. The Alzheimer's Association is known for giving billions, not millions, but billions, to research, to look at medicine, to look at risk factors. You know, did you know your gut bacteria can affect it? Your whatever, you know, sort out the misinformation from the real facts of how do you deal with it. And then there isn't just Alzheimer's, right? There's over 100 different kinds of dementia. So it's out there. Let's get together and help do it. So I commend Chris, and his efforts are amazing.
Well, I thank you, Pam. And you and I were just talking, and it was very interesting now that I've been studying more and more, of course, the algorithms and everything on Facebook push things towards you,
right,
which is really good because then I can share it. But I was very shocked the other day. Here's Samuel L. Jackson talking about Alzheimer's, and he was summing up how it was feeling for him of being scared about his family and he was going to get it and all of these things. And I'm like, they'll tell everything about me. Right. I mean, that's all about me. I'm worried now that when will I not notice if I have it or do have it? And so Samuel L. Jackson's talking about it. There's huge celebrities. The newest one that I just told Pam about, too, is Phil Robertson. He's the head of Duck Commander, and he was the one that first invented the actual duck call down by Hank's territory. We won't hold anything against him for that. But a huge family, huge following, and they just announced now he got diagnosed with an early stage Alzheimer's, but he's got it. He's also got a blood infection that he's fighting. So now they're going to look at probably how does that play into this other portion of it with the Alzheimer's too. But, you know, like Pam mentioned with, you know, well, we have Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. We have
Robin Williams,
all of those that are coming forward now that we found out after, of course, Robin. But yeah, and with Bruce Willis and all these high profiles, is it going to push this higher and higher? I have a feeling it will. I hope my cause can help along the way. I'm not a Samuel L. Jackson by any means, but you know, I feel accomplished. My wife and I both, when we came to the grand total, our goal was going into this, if you know, we made $1,000. That's $1,000 we didn't have before. And when she totaled it up and she came into the bowling alley after they went home, of course, and took all of it home and counted it, and she said, Chris, we're just short of $5,000. I'm like, what? And it was just an awe. And everybody hoot and hollered at the bowling alley when we told them that we're still there. And then I went to the bank, and of course, the bank has fancy machines. That's why we go, so human error is out of the question. It came out to $5,133. And I'm just in awe.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. Yeah. He brings up a point, Pam, about, you know, if somebody in our family has it, are we more likely to get Alzheimer's or dementia?
Right. And it's really important that people realize that there are preventions. So genetics loads the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger. And so if a family member has it, but you exercise well, you eat well, I mean, there's 1,000 things you can do that have been proven to help. Sleep is so important, right? Even positive attitude, having a sense of a bigger purpose, all those kinds of things. Loneliness is a high risk factor for dementia. But if you live your life well, you may have what's called those plaques and tangles, those twisted brain cells that could cause disease, but it doesn't because you did this preventative stuff. So that's a really important message to get out. I mean, and the other message is to get out that there's different kinds. So we can't treat everybody like they have Alzheimer's. There's now a new kind of dementia that they're realizing is a different kind of protein called late, LATE, and it's limbic associated, and it's a different protein that can happen. So there's potential for disease. And that's why, you know, I used to go out, think, oh, I should go for a walk. I need to lose some weight. Oh, I should go for a walk. It'd be good for whatever. Now I realize, oh, I want my brain to not go there because I had a grandmother with it. I'm going for that walk. I'm gonna eat those vegetables. I'm gonna eat that. And so there's a lot of classes and information out there. I could go on forever about what helps prevent it. I'm a real brain nerd, you know that. But people can come to classes. People can learn that. We can start to have those conversations if people will call the ADRC, you know, the 647-4616 number, and say, I'm interested in this. I want a booster brain and memory class. I want the Alzheimer's to do a presentation on research updates. There's a lot in this field that is changing. They're soon going to get a blood test that will diagnose dementia. And that's right out of our UW-Madison Alzheimer's and Disease Research Center. It's the other ADRC at UW-Madison is leading the world in that kind of research. So, but we need people to participate in research studies. We need people to, of all kinds, right, of all races and everything. We need people to come out and do research so we can learn more about the over 100 diseases. So there's a lot to be said about it, but and we can have those conversations here. But I need to know where and when you want me to come, how we're going to get the Alzheimer's. Do we want a program? You know, maybe the hospital could sponsor the program on the research updates. Maybe we could partner with some other people. I'm all into partnering because this is an amazing community. But we need to know where and when people are interested because fear is what's going to keep us. Fear of getting it, fear of talking about it, fear that you know, that your family or your member is going to get it, is going to keep you from doing that early diagnosis. We have the geriatric assessment clinic here in our community. We are so lucky. That isn't, you know, a lot of people have to travel to Madison or La Crosse. People can find out because sometimes it isn't dementia. Sometimes there's 100 other factors that affect your brain that can affect memory. Memory is only a symptom. Right, like a cough.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
that's
and
went
you,
into my
so,
coat.
Right. So, but find out if that memory could be because of something else, infection, thyroid, whatever. Find out and don't let your fear keep you. Because if you do have to get the diagnosis, there is a lot of people here to help and support you. But if you don't, you know, you could find out it's some other condition. So
it comes, I think, Pam, too, to just keeping your brain active, doing yes. crosswords, Sudoku, whatever it may be, memory yes. games. I mean, all of those
sports
things.
Trivia.
Sports trivia, Pam, you know, didn't want to talk about it today. And Phil brought up a sore subject this morning about that Packer loss. But, you know, those kind of things, just discussing those and doing those kind of activities just to keep your brain firing on all cylinders. And I think one of our biggest things is talking about is, oh, that's just old age.
Right.
I think we throw that under so much, oh, I forgot where I placed this or placed that. Nah, I'm just getting older.
But, you know, I would also say that it's fear. People get I constantly get like, oh, I forgot somebody's name in Walmart. I forgot this. It's okay to forget things when you get older. We expect a lot of 90-year-olds now. I talk about right. this a lot with my husband. We expect them to be who they were before. There is normal aging. So I will expect to lose, not be able to find my car when I come out of Walmart. I will expect to have to ask your name when I see you, nope. you know, right? But don't let fear of that keep you from getting tested, and you can get it with your Medicare wellness visit, right?
Right.
But it gives you a baseline. But a lot of forgetting memory is not Alzheimer's.
And dementia, I guess that's where I was going with that.
Yes, yes. It is. Memory is not the whole symptom. It's when you can't do what you used to be able to do. You know, it's not being able to write a check when you used to write a check. It's there's a lot of warning signs. And the Alzheimer's Association is actually great at that on their website of listing the 10 common warning signs, you know, which is usually not being able to do function in ways you used to, forgetting things that were really important to you. And I can get those later, but you need to look at the warning signs and not be afraid because dementia is way more than memory. There's so many factors. It's not being able to sequence things, do a recipe you used to do, you know. So let's have a real conversation about that so people aren't running from it, you know, fearing it, and then not realizing maybe it's not as bad as they thought in a way. Maybe we can accept people. I mean, I talk a lot to people who have dementia, and we have a new support group supporting those people. People who have these diseases, because they need to be able to have in-depth conversations. They need to be part of the conversation. You know, it's not their fault they got this medical condition, right? So let's have some real conversations about it so that people can feel comfortable, that they can still live in their home, which is fully possible. There's no reason with most dementias that you can't, you know, until the last year of life, have to be in supported care. So there's a lot to be said about it, but Yeah.
Is it more prevalent now? Because I know 50, 60 years ago, you would have said, oh, they're old or they're, you know, I mean, Alzheimer's and dementia.
What used to say about hardened arteries and all that stuff.
Right.
It is more common. So they identified Alzheimer's like 100 years ago, but they are learning so much more now in the last 5 years. And the reason it's more prevalent is partly because there's more older people. A lot of it is lifestyle. I'm sorry to say it, but think about the environmental toxins we're breathing, right? You know, the plastics in our water. There's a lot of things about lifestyle factors that are impacting us, and that's probably why we have more. It isn't just more older people. It's all the things that are bombarding us that are affecting those proteins at a cell level. Mm-hmm. So
because it seems like it's being diagnosed younger than it used to be as well.
Yeah, I think you hear more about young onset. So there's young onset, which is before 60, and then when people get Alzheimer's, they can be early stage, whatever. So people get mixed up between, you know, early onset and early stage. But I hear more diseases that lead to it, like Huntington's and stuff. I think part of it is that we're just more aware. You know, we used to think, oh, somebody's old, and we didn't test for it. So some of it is we're not realizing. But there are unfortunately, a lot of other diseases like Parkinson's and that kind of thing that can lead to it. One of the things that's new that I hadn't heard until, like, COVID happened is mild cognitive impairment. So Alzheimer's is called major cognitive impairment. But mild cognitive impairment is a condition that is not dementia. It can develop into dementia 30% of the time, but it isn't dementia. It's more memory issues than normal aging, but you're not a form of dementia yet. It just means you struggle. And you hear a lot more that, is it related to COVID? They're still finding that out. And they said at the geriatric assessment clinic, they're seeing that more and more. And people need to learn what the difference is. The worst thing to me is when somebody finds out they have Alzheimer's and their family thinks they immediately need to be in a nursing home. Alzheimer's can last 15 years, 10, 15, 20 years, right? We need to figure out at what stage that person is. That person could be, you know, at early stage at 90, or they could be at late stage at 70. And so you really want to find out those details, what kind, when it is, before you start going making decisions. But we have some other people to talk to.
Yeah, we'll do that in a moment. We're going to call, in fact, Stephanie Zemke in just a moment here when our morning show continues. Welcome back to our morning show. We're on the subject of Alzheimer's and dementia, a follow-up to a program we did a while back, and a very successful fundraiser was held in our community. Joining us, we're glad to have her on the line with us today, Stephanie Zemke, Vice President of Development, the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin chapter, joining us out of Milwaukee today. Good morning, Stephanie. Can you hear us, Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay, there you are. All right. Well, we'll bring you on the air and talk a little bit about what you do. Can you talk about your role with the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin chapter?
So I am the Vice President of Development for the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, which means that I help support our 27 walks throughout the state. They are our largest fundraising event for the Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And then support all other additional fundraising events, like the really great bowling events that we're talking about here today. So it's really my honor to travel throughout the state to see all the amazing work that folks are doing, often in memory or in honor of someone living with Alzheimer's or dementia. But really just making sure that we have the finances to provide free services to folks throughout the state who are on this journey.
It's amazing the number of programs that are available. Could you talk about some of those and maybe
you
any?
Know what?
Any...
I actually can't hear you.
Could you talk about any of the support groups and things like that and any info that you may have that you could share with us?
Sure. So we have a variety of virtual and in-person support groups that we provide all throughout the state. So anyone who is looking for support group opportunities, I definitely encourage you to visit our website at alz.org/Wisconsin. And you can find a support group that really can help you navigate any point in this journey. So whether you're an individual living with the disease who's just been diagnosed or is on your journey, you're a caregiver for someone living with the disease, or unfortunately you're coping with the loss of someone who's passed because of the disease. All of those support groups, we probably have 30 throughout the state, that listing's available right on our website. But we're also really proud of the broad educational programming that we are able to offer, also virtually and in person. So that listing also at alz.org/Wisconsin, but really it runs the gauntlet of, the empowered caregiver, and how do you, work with an individual? How do you communicate effectively? How do you handle behaviors for individuals living with the disease? How do you manage the holidays for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's? The holidays can be really difficult just because it's a break from normal routine. So we really do our best to make sure that we can provide education for people at any stage of this journey.
Caregivers certainly can use the support. That's, kind of an overlooked group. And I'm guessing that's where you try to find, those people and help them out as much as you can, don't you?
Yes. So there are, I'm actually just looking up the number right here. There are 11 million individuals acting as caregivers in the country. And right here in the state of Wisconsin, we have over 200,000 folks who are unpaid caregivers for individuals living with dementia or Alzheimer's. And that is children, that's spouses. So we're really actively working. I'm so glad that Pam is also in this interview, because our dementia care specialists play such an important role in making sure that our caregivers have the support that they need to help navigate this journey, because it's a very difficult one, and one we certainly don't want anyone to experience in isolation.
One of the things we've talked about on the program, too, is I think that there are just some amazing breakthroughs coming through right here in the state of Wisconsin out of Madison. We've heard some good news recently, Stephanie.
Yes. So last year, the Alzheimer's Association made their first ever $100 million allocation to research. And nine of those projects are actually running right here in the state of Wisconsin, many of them coming out of UW Health and the Medical College over in Milwaukee. But we're making some really great progress right here at home. There's $1.8 million invested in research projects here in the state. And we're really proud of our commitment to fulfilling our mission of having a world without Alzheimer's. As of this summer, we have two FDA-approved treatments that actually it can change the trajectory of the disease. It can help slow it down rather than just treating symptoms. So we are really at a precipice of the future of this disease, and hopefully working towards, in the near future, a world where an Alzheimer's diagnosis isn't fatal, that it's really something that folks can say, I'm living well with my Alzheimer's diagnosis, and I'm living longer and having a better quality of life for much longer.
Well, I think about the strides that have made, a cure is probably not all that far-fetched when you look at what's been, handled the last few years, Stephanie.
I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that question?
Well, I'm thinking that a cure is not that far out of the realm of possibilities with all the strides that have been made lately.
We really, really hope that is the case. There is so much promising research in the pipeline, including some of the biomarker research that's being done to help identify this disease at its very earliest stage. So often there's identifiers, some amyloid plaque, which is what causes some of the cognitive decline, much of the cognitive decline that happens in Alzheimer's disease, showing up in blood work and in eye testing as early as 20 years before you identify any actual cognitive decline. So really including that testing earlier, we still have to refine it and make sure that it's really perfected before we roll it out more broadly. But identifying that there is a likelihood that Alzheimer's is in the future for an individual, and really getting on it significantly earlier before there's any memory loss or any discernible, you know, cognitive loss.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Restrictions may apply. See store for details while supplies last. Get a free gift card with a purchase of Milwaukee M12 heated apparel through December 31st at All American Do It Center in Toma, Sparta, and Richland Center.
All American. WRCO.
The time is 6:30, and right now it's 5 degrees below zero. WRCO News is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today calls for sunshine and bitter cold, a high of 9, west to northwest winds at 5 to 12, a low down to 6 degrees below zero tonight, but light winds. Tomorrow, 21, before some precipitation chances will come in early Saturday. Right now, with winds around 7, the feels like reading around 19 below zero. It is an on-time morning here in southwest Wisconsin. We're at 5 degrees below zero.
The holidays are here, and A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet is ready to help you make your home merry and bright this season and into the new year. Looking for the perfect gift? How about the gift of comfort with one of our top quality mattresses? Or shop in our in-store clearance values and save big on furniture for every room. Not sure what to get? We've got gift certificates for everyone on your list. Start the new year off right with comfort and savings from A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Visit us on South Church Street in Richland Center today.
I'm Phil Nee with news today. A familiar name tapped for key ambassadorship. President-elect Donald Trump has selected Ron Johnson as U.S. ambassador to Mexico. However, it's not the same Ron Johnson who serves as Wisconsin's Republican U.S. senator. Trump said in a statement that his selection for the post was previously U.S. ambassador to El Salvador during his first term, and also served in the CIA and the U.S. Army on the social media platform X. Wisconsin's Ron Johnson said, "There are a few of us Ron Johnsons out there, including a former NFL player and a JCPenney CEO." Taiwan-based Foxconn Technology Group has been approved for $8 and $3.75 million in annual state tax credits for employing 1,114 full-time workers and investing just over $24.5 million at its Racine County operations in 2023. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. In 2023, Foxconn received just over $6 million in tax credits for employing 1,029 full-time workers and investing more than $26 million at its Mount Pleasant facilities. A man accused of faking his drowning and traveling to Eastern Europe is back in Wisconsin and facing charges. 45-year-old Ryan Borgwart was charged with misdemeanor obstruction in Green Lake County Court. Prior to his Tuesday court appearance, Sheriff Mark Padal wouldn't say what brought Borgwart back. Borgwart is now free on a signature bond. County officials may seek $40,000 in restitution to cover the cost for a lengthy search of Green Lake, where Borgwart faked his drowning while kayaking in August. As holiday celebrations continue, the American Red Cross encourages donors to keep the blood supply top of mind by giving blood or platelets this month. Bring joy to someone facing a medical emergency. Give something that means something with a blood or platelet donation. Type O negative blood donors and those giving platelets are especially urged to give now to help ensure patients can continue to receive the care they need in the coming weeks. A blood drive will be held Saturday from 8 until 1 at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Loganville. Schedule an appointment by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767.
There will be plenty of holiday spirit at the Richland Center City Auditorium this Sunday when the Richland County Performing Arts Council hosts the final concert of the 2024 year. The event will feature Nashville recording artist Maggie May.
Pretty excited to be back in Richland Center. Haven't been there for several years. We're going to be doing our first Christmas show that we've done in several years. I think the last time I did a show was in 2018, and we're just pretty excited to be coming to Richland Center.
The concert, Maggie May's Country Christmas Show, will have the Sawmill Creek Band and Eric Knopfsinger performing with Maggie. There will be a wide variety of music for all to enjoy.
We're going to have a mix of not just Christmas music, we'll have country music as well. And that gives it a nice all-around show, and it kind of shows off the talents of the band. I'll sing, they'll sing, and it just makes a nice rounded show.
Maggie May is looking forward to bringing Christmas cheer to all in attendance.
I can't wait to perform these songs and just seeing the people sing along and having a great time to some great toe-tapping music, and really looking forward to being back in Richland Center.
Maggie May's Country Christmas Concert with the Sawmill Creek Band, including Eric Knopfsinger and special guest Leroy Elvis Peterson, will be performed this Sunday at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Doors open at 1 and the show will get underway at 2. Tickets are priced at $25 per person. A group rate for 10 or more people is also available. Tickets can be purchased online at eventbrite.com, locally at Christie's Sunnyside Bakery, at Napa Auto and Truck Parts, or at the door as available. Proceeds from the concert go towards the Auditorium Building Fund for the ongoing restoration and renewal. For ticket information, you can call 608-604-7022. The Ithaca School District has two seats up for election this spring. The seats currently held by Robert Busher and Kelly Ferriance are at-large positions for 3 years beginning Monday, April 28, 2025, and expiring April of 2028. If you're an Ithaca School District resident interested in serving, a campaign registration statement and a declaration of candidacy must be filed no later than 5 o'clock Tuesday evening, January 7th, at the district office. The spring election will be held Tuesday, April 1st. If a primary is necessary, it will be held Tuesday, February 18th. More information is now available from the DNR on how the Canadian wildfires of 2023 impacted Wisconsin. The DNR says 5% of the entire Canadian forest burned last year, and during the multi-day air quality advisory in late June of 23, the agency's air monitoring network measured some of the highest small particle concentrations ever in the state. The DNR issued 15 air quality advisories in 23, which is almost 5 times higher than the average over the previous 12 years. Those advisories are issued when air quality has reached or is expected to reach the unhealthy for sensitive groups level on the air quality index. The woman who did so, leaving an urn intentionally behind in a movie theater, has no plans to pick that up at the Beloit Police Department. The woman who wants to remain anonymous says the remains were those of her father, who she had no relationship with. She left the urn in the theater during a screening of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice in October because she didn't want his presence inside of her house. The woman told Rockford TV station WREX that she left the urn in a specific location, thinking she would never really hear about it. The theater turned it in to police after waiting a few weeks for someone to come back and claim it.
Tis the season for treating with Dunkin', and nothing brings instant holiday cheer like a dozen Dunkin' Donuts. Whether it's a work party, family gathering, or holiday brunch, it's the gift that makes everyone on your list happy. Want to give donuts or coffee for later? Pick up a Dunkin' gift card. For a limited time, get a $5 gift certificate when you buy $25 or more in Dunkin' gift cards. Gift card promotion available at T-Mart franchise Dunkin' locations only. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Today's high temperature, 9 degrees with mostly sunny conditions and bitter cold. West and northwest winds at 5 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and frigid but light winds. A low of 6 degrees below zero. Friday, morning sun, then clouds increase. Not as cold, a high of 21. Friday night, a low of 17. Saturday, 36, with periods of freezing rain and sleet, possibly becoming mainly light rain Saturday afternoon. This morning, morning. Wind chills have been consistently down there in the upper teens. Right now with winds around 7 miles per hour. The actual reading is 5 degrees below zero.
Hey, Coach Johnson here, and I'm here to share with you some great news. I've been doing health coaching for nearly 4 years now, and I have to tell you, the company I work with has the best deal of the year, and I would even say it's been the best since I've been with them. So contact Coach Johnson at 604-7751 or direct message me on Facebook. The offer ends December 15th, so reach out today. And in light of the holiday spirit, I will personally add to the discount as a Christmas bonus gift. Remember, deal ends December 15th, and you can reach me at 608-604-7751 or find me, Jamie Johnson, on Facebook.
TC Auto Works is your one-stop vehicle experts. From routine maintenance to complex repairs or your next vehicle purchase, you can trust the team at TC Auto Works for all your automotive needs. TC Auto Works is your steering and suspension specialists. From tires, shocks, suspension parts to steering components, TC Auto Works is now offering financing on repairs over with qualifying credit. See dealer for details. TC Auto Works, Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the schedule. Details as well on the state scene where the Packers are preparing for Seattle on Sunday night.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On the local area scene, there's high school basketball tonight. In girls' hoops, Lancaster at Richland Center, Platteville at Dodgeville, and River Valley at Prairie du Chien. Ithaca is at Wazika Steuben, North Crawford at Lafarge Youth Initiative, and Kickapoo at DeSoto, Mineral Point at Riverdale, Fenimore at Boscobel, Iowa Grant at Cuba City, Royal at Hillsboro, Cashton at Bangor, and Brookwood at Waniwak Center. Boys basketball, Southwestern plays at Ithaca. We'll be there tonight for that game. Potentially a high-scoring affair at Ithaca. The Bulldogs host the Wildcats in a game that will get underway around 7:15 on the radio. High school wrestling this evening. Riverdale is involved in a meet at Platteville High School against Platteville Belmont and River Ridge. And speaking of wrestling, this year high school teams, coaches, and everyone involved need to get on the same page with the new scoring. It's the collegiate scoring that's been around for a number of years, but the first time on the high school level. River Valley co-head coach Dan Makovic talked about scoring.
We're fortunate enough to wrestle at the Reedsburg Duels, and, you know, team points matter for that. And we're talking, oh, do we go neutral or do we go top here? Because you can score 4 points from the top position versus 3 from a takedown or, you know, 1 for an escape. And there's also times where you're saying, we need a pin, so you have to be in a certain position, because if you're trying to pin somebody from neutral, you have to take them directly to their back. Otherwise, the match gets stopped at a tech fall. So we are really learning to adjust on the fly here. The people I feel the worst for are the referees. It's a lot of scoring rather quickly. We saw 1 minute tech falls in the last few duels.
River Valley co-head coach Dan Makovic, as teams adjust to the new scoring this season. The Packers are 3-point favorites to beat Seattle on Sunday night. The loss to the Lions means winning the NFC North is no longer within reach. Green Bay has to focus on catching and passing the Vikings for the number 5 seed. The Seahawks control the NFC West after 4 straight wins. The odds makers at Best MGM think the Packers will snap that streak in Seattle. There's an NFL game tonight. The Rams playing at San Francisco. Some good football in prime time tonight. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee used a big second half to win the latest installment of the I-43 rivalry series in Green Bay Wednesday, 88-67. The Phoenix scored the game's last 8 points to make the final score a little more respectable. Junior transfer guard Jamichael Stillwell led the Panthers to the victory with 24 points and 19 rebounds. Another Badger quarterback is entering the college football transfer portal. Redshirt sophomore Braden Locke started 9 games this season after Tyler Van Dyke suffered a knee injury against Alabama. Both Locke and Van Dyke are leaving Wisconsin, along with redshirt freshman Cole LeCrew. The latest announcement came on the same day when center Jake Renfro announced he was staying. Right tackle Riley Mullman made the same announcement on Tuesday. The Wisconsin men's hockey team meets another ranked opponent when it travels to Michigan for a weekend series Friday. The Wolverines are rated 8th in the country. They were held scoreless last weekend in Minnesota while being swept. Badger forward Quinn Finley has 11 goals to lead all Big Ten scorers, and Finley's 20 points are 3rd in the conference and 8th overall in the country in men's hockey. That's an update on sports for a Thursday morning. I'm Phil Nee. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life. If you think taking part in the programs offered at Simon's Recreation Complex would be just for young people, it's time to rethink that notion. As we get older, it's more important than ever to keep moving.
I'm guessing you've learned a lot about the disease during your time with the chapter, haven't you?
Yeah, I do feel a little bit. My mom is actually really in need of hearing aids, and so you know when we're encouraging her to move forward with that, I'm always the one quoting the research about how memory loss is often correlated with Alzheimer's disease. So really everything in my life kind of comes full circle back to this disease and really working to find a cure for it.
Well, certainly strides like Chris's bowling tournament and things like that. You got to be pleased that people are stepping forward and, you know, and taking some strides to help in the overall cause, aren't you?
I mean, it is so wonderful to see people come together to do things that they enjoy. We're so grateful for Chris and all of the folks who came out to the bowling tournament. Because really that is our bread and butter here in how we raise money for Alzheimer's disease and treatments and all of the care we can provide caregivers and individuals living with the disease. And so we're just so grateful for everyone who does, you know, from a bake sale at their church to this really amazing, you know, bowling event that happened. We're so grateful for everything everyone does to help, you know, get more money and get more awareness in to the work that the Alzheimer's Association does, but most importantly, providing care for individuals and their families who are dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Thanks for joining us today, Stephanie. We appreciate your expertise.
Oh, I'm so grateful to join you, and thank you so much for bringing awareness to this disease and inviting me on today.
Thank you. Stephanie Zimke joining us, Vice President of Development, the Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin Chapter. We'll have more coming up on The Morning Show. Our morning show get-together today talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and related causes and the recent cause, which was a huge success here in Richland Center at the Phoenix Center. Pam Kohlberg, Chris Gerber joining us in the studio. Stephanie Zimke very eloquently spelled out some of the things that are available in the state here. And I know you couldn't hear all of her conversation, but she did a great job, Pam.
Yeah, and I'm looking through the newsletter here and noticing it says healthy habits for your brain. I could have answered your questions better if I'd read the newsletter first. But, you know, it says challenge your mind, stay in school, eat right, manage diabetes. Smoking is a big factor that affects dementia, maintaining healthy weight. So there's a lot of information on Alzheimer's Association. They are national. I will admit that it can be kind of, their website can be huge. But as long as you put in Wisconsin, there's also, I want to mention, they have a helpline that always has a live person answer it. They might be out of Chicago, but their 800-272-3900 number, you can call anytime, talk to person, and get advice. I always say to people, I might not be up until 2 a.m, but you can call this helpline and say, hey, look, I'm a little bit freaked out, you know, what can I do about this? But we always want to bring it local. And so what I appreciate is that the Alzheimer's Association has partnered with us on a number of things. Last year was our first annual Bringing Hope and Light to the Dementia Journey. It was a conference that we had with people with dementia and caregivers being able to talk about kind of what they're going through. It was a phenomenal success. The Alzheimer's Association partnered with us on that, and it's going to be again August 13th in La Crosse. So they're a great partner to the ADRC. But more specifically, if people want to see things more locally, they just have to call the ADRC at 647-4616. And then, you know, I can arrange through the Alzheimer's Association, Heidi Neely's our local representative, you know, things about the research update. What are all the big things that are happening these days? People want a class in a specific program? Well, I would love it if some of these folks that are reaching out to Chris and saying, you know, it's impacted me and I'd like to do something. Yes, you can donate money, but you can also volunteer. You could help at the walk. Chris, sounds like you could use some help at this annual event. But also,
I won't turn away any help, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'll be there. And but also that they need classes. So what the Alzheimer's Association does, because they're so big, is they get local people to teach classes. And there's classes in healthy living for your brain and body, empowering caregivers, dealing with challenging behaviors. Those programs are only possible if local volunteers work with Heidi at the Alzheimer's Association to learn the curriculum and then come back and teach it. You know, so we can offer more programs than I as one person can offer if volunteers would step up, you know, come talk to the Alzheimer's Association and get trained in these local programs. Wouldn't that be amazing? We could have these conversations more and more often. People can share their knowledge as a caregiver. We have a lot of presentations where we ask caregivers like Chris to talk about the challenges they had so other people can learn. How do you help deal with the driving issue? How do you help deal with incontinence? How do you help deal with, the odd behaviors, with poor hygiene? These are things that happen often, are not unusual. You know, the paranoia that might come with a medical this condition. Talk to other caregivers. Like Chris, we can talk through that process you've been. So there's local classes, there's support groups, there's Advocacy Day. So one thing that Alzheimer's is awesome at doing is they get us together with Wisconsin legislators. You'd be amazed how accessible they are. You can walk over to the Capitol. They'll train you, you know, to tell your story. I'm hoping Chris is going to join us in February. And then we go talk to local legislators and say, hey, you know, the fact that you got the Dementia Care Specialist Program, or that the Alzheimer's is doing all this, is great, but we also need to look at more secure units. We need to look at more money towards this. So you get this training and how to talk to them, and that afternoon you walk across the street and you're sitting in the office of, you know, Tony Kurtz or Howard Markline, and talking about what you need. And I can tell you, and over the years that I've been going there, I've been doing this 8 years, they didn't know about it 8 years ago. This year, every single one of them has a family member affected. They have people who are doing wandering. So the awareness is already there. So let's talk. Wisconsin is an awesome state. It has the Dementia Care Specialist Program. It has other resources. And that's because people went and talked to their legislators.
And so I think one of those things too, Pam, is I think we have to have that talk in a smaller version with just family. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, for me, was my kids couldn't handle going to see my mom. And you can't force them. I'm not going to force my kids to go see their grandmother when we saw her at the end, and kind of things like that of, hey, I want to remember grandma, who she was.
Hard, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard, especially for a younger generation, not only because it's just not because you're going to see your grandma, but there are also 15 other people in that facility. So you never know how those guys are going to react either, or what they're going to do with around your kids or anything like that. So you have to be very patient with that, of just saying, okay, I get it. I understand. As far as siblings go, as far as sons, daughters, it somewhat becomes a mandatory thing. I mean, I didn't feel it was mandatory. I wanted to do it, but it was by far no easy. I mean, but we all had that discussion. Thank goodness I had my wife, who was definitely a rock through these things. But with her job, there was a fine point of what we could share, couldn't share, talk about. You know, I couldn't get all the help through the county because of her position. they were all locked out because of confidentiality and all of that. So it's a very interesting thing from my angle. I couldn't get necessarily all the help other families may be able to get.
Right. But the key is, I'm really glad you're bringing up the family thing, because one thing that a recent partner of the Alzheimer's Association that works with, there are kids out there who are being raised by their grandparents, and those grandparents start to have this medical issue. Those kids have become caregivers, and they're still in high school. You know, they're still right. in school. There's mm-hmm. a place called Lorenzo's House that deals with the kids that are caregivers. I mean, whoever thought we'd have to be talking about dementia with, you know, kids under 18, but they're the ones who are helping, you know, grandma manage it. So it is a very much a family thing. You know, as a dementia care specialist, I do a lot of family meetings where we kind of try and get everybody online. And like you said, you know, some brothers might not agree with other brothers. Some people are hard to admit it. You know, it is help out there. I can help people negotiate that with a family, but I'm really glad you brought it up. And the other thing that you've brought up before is plan for the future. You know, look at getting your power of attorney for health care. That's more important than you know.
Well, and the other issue for me was there was no facility that could handle my mom close. So that was the other problem I had, is now I'm driving 6 hours round trip to see mom that my visit may last 15 minutes before she got agitated and wanted me to leave, or before she got agitated with others there, or whatever it may be. And I had to get to know that I can't force to stay. Right. I can't just hang out, because that's just going to push her to another limit.
Right. That's why I want you to come to Advocacy Day. It is caregivers telling your story, like you are now, to people who run the budget of the state who can make that happen. I've seen it happen in getting a crisis stabilization unit in Greene County. I've seen it happen, you know, with many efforts that have happened because caregivers came out and spoke. So I hope everybody knows that you can join us on the bus from the ADRC and come to the Alzheimer's Advocacy Day that the Alzheimer's Association is running. So there's so much out there. The hardest thing that's sad to me is how to get it to the people who need it, you know. And if some of these people that are coming out to help Chris, which is so awesome, could join me with the Alzheimer's Association to bring more programming here, wouldn't that be great? You know, I can run some support groups here in person. Most of what the Alzheimer's Association does right now is virtual if you're in Richland County. But let's bring some local, you know, face-to-face stuff. And that will happen if people can call us and say, I want this program, and I can hook you up with Heidi of the Alzheimer's Association. Wouldn't that be awesome?
And would there be a minimum of people that you'd need to for each class or for each group?
I mean, I'm open to ideas. Amazing uh-huh. things happen. Like, Chris got this idea happen. You know, I mean, amazing. You know, if three people, that's my whole thing. If three people are asking me to do, let's say, research updates, I'll go talk to the hospitals, bring it to me. I need three people, and I'll run with something, because we live rural. You know, we can't fit the minimum that they have in other places. But once you do it once, then you do it again. Look at Chris. I've seen that with support groups. Once you do it once, we have an awesome in-person support group here. It started with one person. It's slowly built. You know, that's how we were able. It was a caregiver that brought Project Lifesaver here. Lee Borkowski was able to advocate for her mom. And next, you know, we have Project Lifesaver here, which is the device that helps track people that the sheriff runs. So it's caregivers stepping up, but it's also former caregivers, somebody who's lost someone, but they learned a lot. And that's what I see. Caregivers learn a lot, and then their job changes. They get a job they didn't expect. You know, and it's really a job. It's right. hard work. And then suddenly that job changes when that person passes, and yet they have all this knowledge to share. So let's use that in having more conversations.
Indeed. Chris, anything you want to add about?
Yeah, so again, I just want to thank everyone. My 50 sponsors, it's on my Facebook page. I know a lot of you don't have the internet and things like that, maybe, that are looking at it, but there's 50 sponsors. There's so many people that I can't run through the whole list here. I would love to, and but again, I've posted it over and over. There will be an article written by my wife, who she's more professional than I am, and she does a whole lot better than I do when it comes to that. But the second annual is the big one. The second annual Marcy Strikes Out Alzheimer for Baker Shootout is scheduled for November 8th of 2025. It will be at the bowling alley. There's already 10 teams. I am only taking 12. That's the easiest way for me to do it. If you want to get a hold of me and you're on Facebook, you can do it that way. Otherwise, I just mentioned to Phil, for sponsors and bowlers, if there's people that are not knowing who I am necessarily, they can get a hold of WRCO, and you can get me the information, and then I'll be in contact.
We'd be glad to. Pam?
And I just want to give a last shout out. First of all, that Chris acknowledged his wife. I think that's kudos that for any husband, including mine, that could, you know, acknowledge the effort that their wife's put in. But
he's well trained.
Yes, he is well trained. And the other one I want to give kudos to is the Phoenix Center. I mean, I have heard amazing things about how they open their doors early so that, you know, seniors can be there. My husband takes advantage of that. I want to shout out. I mean, we have an amazing senior center here over at the community center that is really welcoming to people. We have some resources here. Awesome. But, yeah, thank you to the Phoenix Center for...
Yeah, I don't have the ability to play John Denver tunes to make up for things when I do things wrong there, Phil. That's the thing. I have to do it live on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, Campbell, he was a singer, and he also Glenn Campbell was able to sing into his later years, even with dementia.
That story, I'm sure you've seen the documentary. It's a movie. It's just amazing how he didn't know people around him. He didn't know, but he could still sing his songs and play guitar.
Another quick shout out is Tony Johnson over at the Center Cinema has been awesome. We're going to bring a movie called Wine, Women, and Dementia, and it's about caregivers that got together on social media and then got a bus together, and it's all about it. So I love movies, and that's why I appreciate it.
Pam, what was the other movie that he played a while back? All Went.
Thanks for being here today, you guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Chris Gerber, Pam Kohlberg, the Dementia Care Specialist. Earlier, we had Stephanie Zemke, Vice President of Development for Alzheimer's Association Wisconsin Chapter, on The Morning Show.
Safe and joyous holiday season.
Christmas Treasures, celebrating the real reason for the season, are sponsored on WRCO Radio by Jones Chevrolet and the WCCU Credit Union.
WRCO FM Richland Center, it is 7 o'clock and 5 degrees below zero. Unfortunately, the wind has picked up a little bit, up to 11 miles per hour, making that wind chill in around the 20 to 22 below zero range today, I'm sorry to say. The update at 7 is sponsored by Napa Auto and Truck Parts, local people serving you with the good stuff. Jones Chevrolet, Chevy, find new roads, and Southwest Tech and Fenimore. This is where you belong.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM certified service from Jones Chevrolet, your one-stop shop for all your service needs on Highway 14.